Broadcasting on the Drug Truth Network, this is Cultural Baggage.
It's not only inhumane, it is really fundamentally un-American.
My name is Dean Becker. I don't condone or encourage the use of any drugs, legal or illegal. I report the unvarnished truth about the pharmaceutical, banking, prison, and judicial nightmare that feeds on eternal drug war. Welcome to this edition of Cultural Baggage. Today we'll be hearing from Scott Morgan of Flex Your Rights Organization and about their new DVD, Busted. Really, how not to get busted. But first, let's take a look at the situation up in Canada where the DEA influenced their government to arrest the Prince of Pot, Mr. Mark Emery, for selling seeds to Americans.
My name is Matthew Elrod. I'm most known, I suppose, as the webmaster of the Media Awareness Project, Drug News Clipping Service, and I'm located in Victoria, British Columbia, Canada.
Matt, there's some outrageous happenings going on in Canada with the Prince of Pot. Please fill my listeners in on that story.
Well, a couple of days ago, the Vancouver police, at the request of the U.S. DEA, raided the BC Marijuana Party bookstore in Vansterdam, in Gastown. There they arrested Marijuana Man, and they caught up with Mark at a hemp fest in Nova Scotia and arrested him, and they also arrested his assistant, Michelle. And they're charged with conspiracy to sell marijuana seeds, to sell marijuana, and money laundering. It's my understanding that a court in Seattle issued an indictment last May after 18 months of investigation, which led to their request to the Vancouver police that Emery be arrested and that all his assets be seized, including employee records and computers and disks and everything.
Well, there is a strong parallel in this story to what happened, I guess now about 2 years ago, with Operation Pipe Dreams, where they busted all the glass blowers and so forth here in the States and sent Tommy Chong to prison. Your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. It is more symbolic than anything else. You know, as Kirk Tusaw, who's the spokesperson for the BC Marijuana Party, has pointed out, there's more than one seed merchant on that block. And at least a dozen in Canada, and there are seed merchants in the Netherlands and around the world. And so Mark Emery is just one of many people who are doing this. And so the question arises, why target Mark? And I guess the answer is obvious, is that he's been a bit of a thorn in the DEA's side. He's an outspoken advocate for drug policy reform. He's funded many of the court challenges and cases that have gone on in Canada, as well as some in the United States, and some of the initiatives in the United States he's contributed to. You can't help but assume that the DEA has targeted Mark because he's an activist. In fact, I've sort of been thinking back, what happened exactly 18 months ago last May? And it might have been around that time that Emery rented a table at a talk that John Walters gave to the Vancouver Board of Trade, in which they heckled John Walters. Because Mark seems to get busted whenever he really tweaks their noses.
This is Eric Sterling of the Criminal Justice Policy Foundation.
Then the question of the arrest of Mark Emery. And he was indicted this spring by a U.S. grand jury, and that was based on about a year and a half long investigation, according to the news reports, of his role in exporting marijuana seeds to the United States. Whether or not he was involved in marijuana politics, certainly he was going to be someone who would be on the DEA radar screen. If he was shipping ephedrine or pseudoephedrine to the United States from China or from Mexico or Europe, he would have been a target for federal investigation, shipping precursors. And the United States is routinely indicting people in other countries and then through international treaties asking the law enforcement agencies of those countries to arrest those people for purposes of extradition to the United States to stand trial. This, you know, happens routinely in Colombia and in Europe and in Asia, in which people are extradited to the United States to be prosecuted for their role in shipping drugs or drug precursors to the United States. So I'm not flabbergasted that the government has indicted Mark Emery.
I guess that shouldn't really be surprising that there's no bottom to how far down this drug war can go.
It seems to me a bottom would have been the prosecution of medical marijuana patients, raiding people like Diane Monson, going after patient advocates like Steve McWilliams in San Diego, prosecuting Brian Eppes in Chico, California. Those struck me as bottom cases. Someone who, you know, sells millions of dollars worth of marijuana seeds in the to Americans over the internet or otherwise is a likely target for prosecution. So I don't see it as a bottom.
Well, I would agree with you first off that the personal stories, the personal, quote, interventions into these lives for growing marijuana for sick and dying people is indeed the bottom. I guess what I was meaning on an international scale, and I think this reflects badly on not just the DEA, but on the Canadian magistrates that allowed this to happen in that country.
Look, I'll just say one more thing about a bottom. Another kind of bottom is the prosecution of doctors who courageously attempt to provide pain relief to people who are in the most serious and intractable pain, or the prosecution of patients who acquire the pain medications they need, you know, using the most extreme measures. There's a prosecution of a patient in Florida who allegedly had falsified prescriptions. The doctor said that he had provided additional prescriptions for the patient because he didn't live near a doctor who could take care of him, and he's now in prison in Florida serving a long term because he insisted on going to trial. So that's another kind of despicably low level of the operation of the drug war.
If folks wanted to learn more, how would they access your website?
Our website is www.cjpf, like the initials for Charlie John Peter Frank, .org, at the Criminal Justice Policy Foundation. Let me say one thing about the Canadians. When the United States sends to the Canadian government a request for the extradition of a person who's been indicted in the United States, there are a series of legal procedures that kick into place. The first is that typically the asylum country, in this case Canada, would take into custody the person who's been arrested, as was done. That person is typically eligible for making bail. Apparently Mark Emery has now been released on bail. And then he can fight the extradition in the courts, and also can fight at the political level in asking the Minister of Justice or the Attorney General not to go ahead making a extradition to the United States. So it would be very unusual for another country to simply disregard the indictment and not initiate legal procedure. I mean, in other words, the indictment alleges violation of, you know, American money laundering laws and drug trafficking laws. And what we're going to see now is the legal process play out. It happens that in the international context, there is more opportunity for a political intervention by putting political pressure on the Canadian government in saying that the consequences of a conviction in the United States are so extremely harsh, it shocks the conscience. And when you meet the standard of shocking the conscience, then the Canadian government has a legitimate basis for denying the extradition to the United States.
I want to send a shout out to Mark Emery and Michelle and Marijuana Man and wish them the best with this very difficult situation. All right, we're going to go ahead and take our midpoint break right here.
It's time to play Name That Drug by Its Side Effects. Euphoria thwarts prostate cancer, stops hardening of the arteries, prevents heart disease, provides relief to AIDS patients, revitalizes anorexics, provides mobility and ends spasticity for MS sufferers, and prevents brain swelling following a stroke. Time's up. The answer, an herb of the field. See Genesis chapter 1. Marijuana, cannabis, cannablossom. Not approved by the FDA.
The following is a Drug Truth Network editorial. Who are we? Sponsors of the Scorpions, the Iraq paramilitary forces created and controlled by the CIA. Who are we? Facilitators of the United Self-Defense Forces of Colombia, the AUC, another violent and illegal paramilitary group. Who are we? Collaborators with the Afghan warlords, Al-Qaeda and Taliban, in their resurrection via the opium poppy. Who are we, pontificating purveyors of prohibition through secret government squads, snitches, stings, setups, and paramilitary squads billed as task forces? Who are we, bleating sheep, fearful of the master's staff? God gave us this planet, you and me. Brave men yearning to be free fought and died, risked their lives and their fortunes to make this the land of the free. We have failed them. George Washington, a man who loved the cannabis harvest season, would be appalled and would once again take up arms to overthrow the despots now in power. Thomas Jefferson, who tended thousands of opium poppies surrounding his Monticello home, would once again be rallying the populace. The prohibition of drugs is a farce, a rain dance, a pitiful excuse for everlasting war. The U.S. claims the need to tend to democracy on planet Earth. We deem ourselves to be the best, the only arbiters of justice and liberty. 90 years of failure would be enough for most people to learn a lesson. However, here in the U.S., we hate losers. We will not admit failure, no matter the cost. We will continue to fund the growers, smugglers, distributors, and drug dealers to the tune of $500 billion a year, rather than admit failure. Death, disease, corruption, and general mayhem are minor compared to the destruction to be wrought on the politicians of this nation when their complicity, their sins of commission and of omission in regards to this drug war are brought to light. From the days of Sam Rayburn and beyond, from Harry J. Anslinger, the first drug czar, creator of Reefer Madness and the Single Convention Treaty on Narcotics, on down to the current state reps, federal reps, and U.S. president, they are all part of a grand charade. Fear, intimidation, distraction, dismantling of constitutional safeguards, bold lies cast against a backdrop of violence, bigotry, hatred, and greed do not democracy make. Who are we? We are the terrorists.
I recently became aware of a really powerful new video on DVD that's available to folks out there that will help them avoid arrest. The folks who put it together at Flex Your Rights have done a really excellent job, and I'm glad to have one of the producers with us today, Mr. Scott Morgan.
Hi, Dean. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, Scott, I just watched the video again and was really impressed by the little nuances that you point out that can really make a big difference. Let's talk about a typical traffic stop and how a cop may sway the situation.
There's many tricks that police officers are familiar with that give them an advantage in this situation. And just the uniform and, you know, everything that citizens hear about police, there's sort of a prevailing sentiment among citizens that they don't have any power in that situation. And the officer is trained to capitalize on that. So they'll frequently make a request in the form of a command. For example, I'm going to have to ask you to open your trunk now. They're not actually asking you. They're just saying that they're going to. But usually that's all it takes to get a citizen to pop the trunk, when in fact it's entirely voluntary.
Now, these nuances, they're pretty much institutionalized. You'll run into them border to border. Am I right?
Yeah, pretty much everywhere. And it's one frequent question that we get is, you know, do these rules that you describe in the video and on your website, do they vary from one state to another? And the answer is yes to a small degree, but really the Bill of Rights protections, you know, your Fourth Amendment right to refuse police searches comes from the Bill of Rights. It's a constitutional right that is applicable in all states. You know, in a few states, you might run into slightly better protections in some of these situations, but certainly sort of the basic rights that we teach citizens apply in all states equally.
Now, Scott, this video kind of has a bad example and a good example.
Right.
In the first one, the bad example, the kids get pulled over and badgered by the cop.
License and registration, please.
Could you grab my registration out of the glove box?
Do you know why I pulled you over?
I guess I was speeding, sir.
Did you know that I could arrest you for driving that fast?
But it didn't seem like we were driving that fast.
Did you know that I could arrest you for driving that fast?
No.
Do you have any alcohol or illegal drugs in this car?
No, sir.
What about your friend? Looks a little out of it. Sonny, you feeling all right? You look a little spacey.
I'm just a little nervous, that's all.
Nervous? You shouldn't be nervous unless you have something to hide, right? Son, is there anything you want to tell me? All right, everyone step out of the car, please. You don't have any drugs in here. You don't mind if I take a look, do you?
No.
Guys are a bunch of animals. I'm just trying to make a living here. I don't know why you gotta make me dig through all this crap. Jeez, it smells like Bob Marley's ass in here. You kids been toking the reefer or what? Who belongs to this?
That's mine.
You don't have any drugs in here?
No.
You don't mind if I take a look, Ben?
What if I say no?
Daryl Borden, I want you to listen to me very closely. You have two choices. You can either make things better, or you can make things worse for yourself. If you cooperate with me, I'll help you. Do you understand me?
Yeah.
If you choose not to cooperate with me, I can't help you. I'll have to arrest you and keep you overnight in a jail cell with some very bad men who would love to do some very bad things to skinny little boys like the two of you. Do you understand your choice?
Go ahead.
Well. Daryl, this is your bag, which makes this your marijuana. Am I right?
Yeah. That's mine. It's just a little bud. It's no big deal.
Since Daryl was kind enough to hold your items in his bag, does any of this belong to you too, miss?
The pipe is mine.
Smells freshly used. You're not going to let your friends take the full rap for this, are you? Tell me the truth. Were you smoking on this, too?
No, we didn't smoke any today. We were just going to smoke at the concert.
I appreciate your honesty. But this isn't Amsterdam. In the United States, you're in possession of an illegal and dangerous substance, and I'm going to have to place you all under arrest. Everyone put your hands on the car. Now. Victor 11, going 10-15 three times, requesting backup. I'm going to read you your rights now. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law.
So, Scott, I think there's a lesson to be learned here. Tell them what they should have done different.
Well, the most important thing is not to consent to searches under any circumstances. There's never a time that you want to consent to a search. There isn't any situation I can think of where it would ever be in a citizen's best interest to do that. and the police officer will tell you, hey, I'm going to, you know, as you can see in the video, you know, I'm going to take you downtown. You know, there's, you know, very bad men that you don't want to meet in the prison cell and you're going to if you don't cooperate with me. You know, those kind of threats are completely hollow. If the officer arrests you simply for refusing to consent to a search without any additional evidence, that is an illegal arrest. If he searches your car when you've refused to let him search your car, that is an illegal search. So there's really nothing that the officer can do in that situation if he doesn't have additional evidence. So, you know, you absolutely have every reason to stick your gun to your guns. And, you know, ultimately, you may be illegally searched. You know, sometimes police officers themselves are so used to citizens complying with their commands that they've forgotten what these rules even are. And in that situation, the best thing you can do is get an attorney and fight it out. There are great lawyers out there that know how this stuff works, that are used to representing clients in this situation, and they will tell you over and over and over again, never, ever consent to a search.
As the cop was trying to get permission to do these searches of the car and then of the backpack,
right,
he tried to sway each of the passengers to lean against the other to make it possible. You need
sure,
a game plan
sure.
and stick with it, am I right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, they use that ability very effectively, and in these situations, you know, it only takes one person in the car saying the wrong thing to mess it up for everybody. You know, if one passenger gets really scared and says, oh, hey, you know, yeah, we've got something in the bag, there's something in the bag, you know, that's all it takes to do everybody in. So, you know, it's one effect that we hope our information will have is that if we can educate, you know, one person that might be riding in a vehicle sometime about this information, you know, when they see the lights flashing behind them, they say, hey, guys, let me do the talking. You know, you see that in the video in the second scene when we show the kids handling the traffic stop properly. You see the driver turns back to his friends and says, all right, let me handle this. I know what to do. And, you know, we don't necessarily have to reach every single citizen with this information for it to have an impact. You know, hopefully people who see our video and who visit our website will learn this information and share it with their friends or take it upon themselves to be the point person during a police encounter.
Scott, let's talk about your website, the work you do, and other goals you hope to accomplish.
Sure. Well, our website has been getting a lot of activity recently. We're very happy with the direction that things are going on the site. You know, initially when we released Busted, the Citizen's Guide to Surviving Police Encounters, the video got a lot of attention, and as a result, we noticed that people were more familiar with our video than with Flex Your Rights, the name of the organization itself. And so recently we've created a blog on our website where our executive director, Steve Silverman, and I do the writing. And we cover issues around the country pertaining to police searches. We cover local stories around the country that teach valuable lessons. And most recently we've been involved in covering the subway searches in New York, the random search policy that's been implemented up there on the subways. And we created the Citizen's Guide to Refusing New York Subway Searches.
Scott, I want to thank you for being on the show, and I want to recommend this DVD to people out there, families who might want to protect their younger members from the trepidations of this drug war. And it's that profound and that easy to make a difference. Closing thoughts, sir.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dean. Absolutely, you know, I think everyone needs to see this DVD. Everyone that has seen the DVD has been excited about it. And, you know, no matter what you might think you know about police encounters, I think until you see the actual encounter playing itself out and see some of these tricks that you might not even have thought about before, you won't truly feel prepared for the encounter. So it is important that everyone see it. And I also want to encourage all your listeners to check out our website, and there's a lot of additional resources there as well. That's www.flexyourrights.org.
Listen to this. Busted, the Citizen's Guide to Surviving Police Encounters, is a recently released instructional video narrated by ACLU Director Ira Glasser. The video teaches citizens how to better hide their illegal activities and how to better obstruct a police investigation. I'm not kidding. The video teaches our citizens valuable lessons they can use in their everyday lives, such as where to hide your illegal drugs, how to keep a police officer from smelling marijuana smoke when you get pulled over doing drugs while driving, and how to keep the police from finding out you're guilty of felony possession of illegal narcotics while hosting an underage drinking party. If you don't believe me, go to www.flexyourrights.org and see for yourself. Now, maybe I'm way off base here, but I'm of the opinion that teaching people how to break the law sends the wrong message about the value of law in our society. Am I wrong? This has been Winston Francis with the official Government Truth.
Kicking in the door, kicking in the door, we shall bring salvation, kicking in the door.
This message brought to you by the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration.
Methamphetamine use in the U.S. expanded greatly over the past decade. The good news is, the growth in use seems to have leveled off. In fact, it's been fairly steady for the past few years. The bad news is, policymakers have finally noticed meth and don't know what to do about it. The good news is, public health experts are speaking up to try and head off another case of hysteria like we saw in the 1980s with crack. The bad news is, policymakers aren't listening yet. Instead, they're passing laws to increase penalties and restrict access to cold and allergy medicines. The good news is, Oklahoma's pseudoephedrine law, which is the model for many other states and the feds, has been successful at cutting back on the number of meth producers in their state. The bad news is, the level of use hasn't dropped. And the bad news gets worse. Oklahoma reports that seizures of ice, a more potent, smokable form of meth, have increased by nearly 500% in the time their law has been in effect. Mexican gangs, who have dominated meth production for years and who supply 60-80% of the U.S. market, are reportedly the source. For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh, editor of DrugWarFacts.org.
Okay, a couple of program notes. Some of our reporters are on hiatus this week. I'm proud to say our little network has grown again this week. I want to welcome three new affiliates, KRCH in Haywood, California, WXOJ in Northampton, Massachusetts, and CJSF in Burnaby, up in Canada. To those stations, and more particularly to those listeners on those stations auditioning us this week, I urge you to call the station manager, program director, those with the decision-making power. Ask them to broadcast the unvarnished truth about the drug war on a weekly basis. I want to thank the good folks at last weekend's Criminal Justice and Prison Issues Forum for inviting me to be on the panel. Slowly but slowly, we are winning this drug war. Our guest next week will be defense attorney and author of the new book, Busted, Mr. Chris Fabricant. And yes, I am trying like hell to keep your children from going to prison. And in 2 weeks' time, I'll be reporting from the mass protest against mass incarceration in Washington, D.C. I urge you to learn more. Visit journeyforjustice.org. And the following week, I'll report from the methamphetamine conference to be held in Salt Lake City. You heard mention of it here a few months back, but starting next week, on Fridays at 2 p.m. here on the Mothership, and it will certainly be available to all the affiliates as well, we'll once again feature our new baby.
The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the century of lies.
Once again, I remind you that because of drug prohibition, you don't know what's in that bag. Please, be careful.
To the Drug Truth Network listeners around the world, on behalf of engineer Philip Guffey, this is Dean Becker for Cultural Baggage and the Unvarnished Truth. The show produced at the Pacifica Studios of KPFT, Houston.
Tap dancing on the edge of an abyss.